You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.
All right, good afternoon. This is Paul.
I'm Sherry.
And we're here to talk about, what are we talking about today, babe?
We are talking about first half parenting.
First half parenting, that's right. Well, if you don't know what first half parenting is, I'd encourage you to check out our first podcast in which we explained the whole concept behind first half parenting, and that would probably be helpful for you. But in short, we just believe there are two halves to the parenting process. The first half starts when they're born, and it ends sometime around right about the time they enter into middle school. You know, we discovered that because we had six kids, and it just kept happening over and over and over. And one day we realized, oh my gosh, something is happening. Like, they're moving into a different season of life, which may appear self-evident to you, but to us, it was kind of like a breakthrough moment when we realized we have to parent them different in the second half than we did in the first half. So now all of our kids are through the first half, and we've been reflecting on the lessons that we've learned, and we wanted to share them with you. So hence this podcast. That was a really long intro, wasn't it?
A little bit.
All right, sorry. I'll be better. Okay.
You need to talk today?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got the talkies. So, babe, what are we talking about today in particular? Well, first of all, like, when we talk about the first half parenting process, we said there are some baby steps, right? You just want to tell us what the baby steps are real quick?
Yes. So, just reinforcing this, we feel like, number one, you need to take care of yourself. And then we head to number two, you want to create this great and amazing environment for your home. Number three, you want to be the teacher. And number four, you want to get a PhD in your child. And then number five, you want to learn how to discipline. And six, you want to call mulligans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yep, that's right. And today we're talking about baby step number three, which is become the teacher. Now, we're not talking about homeschooling, are we, babe?
Nope, not in this instance.
No.
But
so some of you are homeschoolers, and God bless you. You're amazing people. I think we tried that once for 6 weeks. Did we make it that long?
Maybe not. I can't remember.
I think pretty quickly we realized, like, we are not, this is not for us. But anyways, that's a whole different conversation. That was a crazy season. But anyways, this is not what we're talking about today. We talk about be the teacher. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. First of all, we want to answer a question. Erica sent us a question, and to those of you who've responded and sent us notes and emails and just private messages, a big thank you. We appreciate hearing from you and do our very best to interact in a helpful way with each one of you. So keep it up. We appreciate it. So Erica reached out, and she had a question about discipline. And she basically said, look, I have a tendency to be more lenient, and my husband has a tendency to be more harsh. And he's a great dad. He's not abusive, but he's just more, he's harsh with his discipline as opposed to her, you know, lenient spirit. And she said, sometimes we get into discussions as to how harsh or how soft we ought to discipline. I don't agree with punishing publicly, and he doesn't think it's a big deal. So we struggle in this area sometimes. So basically, babe, what we have here is we have a mom and a dad who disagree on the matter of discipline. One wants to be more harsh and it's not a big deal to dad to punish publicly, whereas mom is a little more lenient and she would prefer to keep the punishment private. So what would you say to them? They said, we need some help. So what would you say to Erica and her husband on this matter of discipline?
So I think first off, discipline definitely has to be an agreement between the two of you before you punish. I think setting like ground rules for the kids. We made like a chart, right?
Right.
And we both agreed on that chart, so that way we weren't inconsistent with how hard we punished or regarding our feelings. If we were tired, sometimes you punish, or you're more short, more quick. So I feel like definitely having that laid out, and that will change. Like, you're going to have multiple conversations as your kids grow, because those will change
right.
with your kids. And they will change, could change with each child as well. Because
sure.
what you do with some doesn't work with others. So I feel like just really working through that together and coming to a happy medium, and just realizing, you know, if you tend to lean more harsh and you've agreed to be in the middle, then the harsh person comes to the middle. And the more lenient says, oh, this is what we've agreed on. And so we follow through on that.
Right. So we
think it's the rare exception that you should deviate from that.
Right. We sat down, and this is, we actually talk about this in baby step number 5, learn how to discipline. And Erica, I would encourage you to go onto our website, firsthalfparenting.com, and go into the resources tab. You can download the ebook for free. Where we talk about discipline, but this is something that we sat down mm-hmm. and we actually wrote it out.
Yeah.
If you do this, then this and you, I mean, so for us, there were, we picked, I think, 3-4 things that were big issues in our home at that point.
Yes.
And we wrote out, if Reagan does this, then this happens. If Dallas does this, then this happens. And what that did was, because, I mean, you made it. You just said it, babe. If I'm tired, I'm probably going to be more harsh with my punishment.
Yes.
If I'm fresh, I'm excited, if we're playing, I'm going to be way more lenient. And so my kids don't know what to expect.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, if you and I don't agree, they will play us against each other.
Yes.
Right? And they will create that creates tension in the home. So, Erica, I would say the best thing that you can do, and to any other parents who are working through this, the best thing you can do with regards to discipline is sit down. Talk about the issues in your home and write on paper what happens if this issue occurs. This is what we will do. And then when it occurs, you do what the paper says. And I will tell you, for us, that solved a lot of problems. And our kids then just knew, hey, if I lie, or if I, you know, whatever the case may be, they knew what would happen. So,
and I wanted to say, like, with the, you know, making kids too soft or too, you know, hard, or I feel like that discipline doesn't necessarily do that.
That's good.
Discipline is something that kind of helps them to change the direction that they're going, right? You want them to make, it's to help them make the right choice, make the right response in the future. So I don't think that you make a tough child or you make a soft child with discipline. So I feel like
that is babe. That is,
you've
really
got
good.
To
you make a yeah. tough child by training.
By yes,
by
so
teaching,
it's not by,
which is what we're talking about today. Right.
It's not by discipline. So I feel like I mean, you could come really hard on a child with discipline, and that could potentially do completely the opposite of what you want. So
yeah, because we know lots of people who've been disciplined, like they've been disciplined severely,
difficult.
And now they're broken adults.
Yes. Yeah. So I definitely sticking to the chart to me is just because you've thought through it. You were very thoughtful. You weren't quick in response. So So I would definitely make sure to steer away from realizing that discipline does not make a child soft or hard.
That's good.
Tough.
Yeah.
The other thing, I feel like. Publicly disciplining a child, to me, could be very detrimental to the child. I feel like if you're going to discipline a child, don't humiliate them in public.
Right.
Like, I've seen parents do that, and I feel like sometimes it comes across as the parent wants attention. Sometimes it comes across as maybe they're a little insecure in disciplining their child. So they are like, watch me discipline my child. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like publicly disciplining your child is not the place to do it. I think it can bring shame. It can bring hurt. It can bring embarrassment. It can tear the child down. And discipline is not about tearing the child down.
Yeah.
Discipline is about helping them to make better choices.
Gosh, girl, you're bringing
it.
That's right.
Yeah, I do not like that. So when I say like, don't publicly like discipline your child, I'm meaning like, so of course I verbally not, and I'm not like, I've seen parents yell at their child from a distance, and I'm just like, I mean, they're just screaming and everybody stops and looks, and I'm just like, that was so not okay.
Right.
And the child sits there or stands there and looks embarrassed.
And, versus the parent looks silly too.
Right. Versus the parent walking up to them, grabbing them by the arm and saying, hey, and having a little conversation down in front of them with stern eyes, right? I mean, I think we can still give our children the look and the feel or the vibe that that was not okay.
Well, I know there have been plenty of...
Without publicly shaming them.
There have been plenty of times when our kids were younger, you know, that we would excuse ourselves from the room and go in a private place and administer discipline, right?
Right. I mean, I feel like, yes, absolutely. I agree.
You said something I want to drill down on, and that is sometimes we discipline our kids because they've embarrassed us.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, you know, it's almost like, hey, you embarrassed me, and now you're going to pay.
Yes.
And that is 100% the wrong motive for discipline.
Wrong.
And you will, so you will create an angry child if you do that, which is why we cannot encourage you strongly enough. Read ebook number 5. Do discipline that works. It's baby step number 5, okay? And we'll talk with you about how to create a discipline plan that works for your kids and that removes your emotion as a parent while you're disciplining. Babe, that was ingenious. I feel like we could probably stop the podcast right here.
No, I think I feel really passionate about that because I see a lot of parents disciplining their children in public and it kind of breaks my heart for the child, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you watch the kid kind of fall apart, and
maybe
I'm like,
you got tears in your eyes right now.
Not tears, but it is heartbreaking to me, you know?
Yeah.
To watch a child, when that could have been ministered in another way that was very much more,
you're very,
acceptable.
Very good at that. You've always been, I knew the look because you've given me the look and it scares the heck out of me.
I mean, there are ways, yes, there are definitely, I had a mom, we were talking about this. Maybe, actually, it wasn't the mom. It was the child. She's now grown, but the child would be like, man, I knew when my mom gave me the look and then she walked toward me that my shoulder was going to get like twisted.
Right.
And you knew that that was coming, so you better get yourself squared away. And it wasn't obnoxious. It wasn't, but you just knew and you better pony it up. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like parents, there are ways to, yes, you can... you can give your kids just that look or that, hey, you know what, that was unacceptable and we'll deal, you know, we'll talk when we get home.
Yeah.
That kind of thing versus embarrassing them. So yeah, I feel that close to my heart.
That was good. Wow, Erica. Great question. You set Mrs. Peterson off.
Shoot.
Put a tear in her eye. Yeah, got a little passion there. That was good. It's a great question. And something that we will constantly be coming back to in these conversations, you know, over the months and years to come is this idea of discipline, because it's critical. And today we're going to talk about it, right, a little bit. We're going to talk about why you ought to be the teacher. It's baby step number 3. So, you know, as we're thinking through this, we all remember a teacher or teachers in our past that had influence in our lives. You know, one for me was Mr. Ream, and I had him for, you know, going through junior high. And he was incredibly instrumental in my life at that point. He was a strong, godly man, and he was an authoritative figure in my life that I really respected. He had a lot of influence on me. But you made a good point about that. I told you about Mr. Ream. You said...
Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you on teachers. They definitely have a place and an influence, and all the respect goes out to you teachers. I mean, you just spend a lot of hours with these kids every day.
Props.
Oh yeah. Just extremely grateful. And we were talking the other day, like, I mean, you spend it with like 30 of the same age.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Gosh.
Like, you all are just amazing, amazing, amazing. So, but yes, in doing this podcast, I had mentioned, like, so for the most part, you're going to spend maybe a year or two with those kids. And it's typically not even a whole year, right?
Right.
So in the grand scheme of influence on their life, you do have that. And that is very meaningful. But the parent obviously has a lifetime of influence, right?
Yes. And that's the thing, right? So a teacher may get
right
1, 2, 3, 4 maybe years, right?
I mean,
at the most. But
maybe
a parent has a lifetime, right? So... one of my favorite quotes from a guy named Peter Scazzaro. He studied a lot of emotional health, written several books on it. He says, there are numerous external forces that may shape us, but the family we've grown up in is the primary and except in rare instances, it is the most powerful system that will shape and influence who we are. Mm-hmm. It's parents, mm-hmm. right? We are the primary shaping influence in our children's lives. And so, you know, like I was thinking about like the things that teachers teach and the things that parents teach. Like teachers teach things like algebra and, you know, mechanics. They teach science. They teach world history. They teach all important things, correct? Grammar, English,
yes,
you know, other languages,
absolutely.
All super important things. But parents teach things that they teach things like how to handle conflict, how to build relationships, how to handle money, how to deal with God, right? How to, they teach a work ethic. They teach things, quite frankly, that cannot be outsourced. And here's what I mean by that. Like if I don't understand algebra, I can get on YouTube and get a video for my kid, or I can get a tutor, or I can get someone else who understands it, right? But I can't outsource how to teach my kid about conflict or how to teach my kid how to handle money. And we're going to talk about it in a minute. The reason I can't outsource it is because I'm the greatest influence in their life, and they see me more than any other adult, mm-hmm. generally. And they're going to do, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but they're going to do what they see the primary adult in their life doing.
Yeah.
That's why I'm the teacher. I can't outsource the things that I'm responsible for teaching. So
because you spend the most time.
Sure. Right.
Yeah.
So I go to school. Why do we go to school? I'm setting you up. Why do we go to school?
To learn.
Yeah.
Hello, right?
Ding, ding, ding. 1,000 points.
Seriously, Paul.
Yeah, we go to school to learn. And the reason we need to learn is because we don't know. Like, I don't know algebra. I don't know Spanish. I don't know science. I don't know significant world events until I go and learn. So somebody has to teach me these things so I can grow, so I can mature. So a while back, I was reading through, this is several years ago, I was reading through the book of Proverbs, and I was writing down every single verse in there about parenting. Because Proverbs is the book of wisdom, right? And so I'm like, I need all the wisdom I can get for parenting. And I came across this proverb. It says, a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. It's Proverbs 22:15. A youngster's heart is filled with foolishness. So I thought, well, before I just completely buy into this, let's look up what the word foolishness means. So it says, the dictionary said, foolishness is a lack of good sense or judgment. It's stupidity. Ding, ding, ding.
Nice.
Yeah, if you've had kids, you must agree that things like a lack of good sense or a lack of good judgment, even stupidity,
oh yes,
would sometimes describe your children. In the ebook, we actually wrote this. Most kids, if given the choice, would have a diet of candy, would wear the same clothes for days, would make minimal efforts in the area of personal hygiene, and would consistently demonstrate the lovely and endearing qualities of selfishness, dishonesty, anger, and a lack of self-control. All foolishness.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is what kids come into. I didn't have to teach our kids how to lie. I didn't have to teach them how to throw a temper tantrum. I didn't have to teach them how to be selfish. These did that on their own.
Yeah. You have to teach them how to go take your bath.
Correct. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like all that.
Teach them how to do the right things, the good things, right?
Yep.
And so it's interesting because this proverb, there was a second part to it. The first part says a youngster's heart is filled with foolishness, but discipline will drive it away. So I went to the dictionary again. I said, what's discipline? It says discipline is training to act in accordance with rules. It's training.
Mm-hmm.
It's teaching, right? Yeah. And that is what is absolutely necessary for us to drive the foolishness out of our children's heart. And I will tell you, if just look around, you know, tomorrow, look around tomorrow and just look at all of the adults. There are plenty of people out there who are old enough to drive, old enough to, you know, buy adult beverages, old enough to even own their own home. They're adults, but they still have the heart of a child, a heart that's filled with foolishness because somewhere along the way, someone didn't discipline, didn't teach, didn't show them how to drive that foolishness out of their heart, and therefore they continue to live with all of these foolish tendencies. I mean, we all have foolishness in us, right?
Right.
But the job of the parent is to teach the child so we can drive the foolishness out of their heart, the foolishness that they come into the world with, right?
Yes, I particularly like, I mean, I like the idea, because I think discipline can come with the idea of, like, if you think of discipline, sometimes I think of harshness, I think of, you know, just, yeah, harshness, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. Or anger or frustration. And I love that it, you know, it says training.
It's training.
Like, to me, that is key when you're writing your chart for discipline.
Right.
Realizing that it's not harshness. It's not, it should not be filled with anger. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not that you never have those feelings as a parent, right? I mean, because if they do something really wrong, you might have that,
right.
You know? So I think stopping and taking a breath before you discipline, you know, and then going from there. I know there was a point where I, you know, when I was a child, my parents would say, because in the moment it was pretty hot, they would like say, I will discipline you in an hour. And that almost was worse.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no.
Than if they would have disciplined when they were angry. Because, you know, that whole hour you were just like, oh, my gosh, just give it to me now, right?
It's like waterboarding for the soul.
It was horrible. So, I really do like the idea of keeping in mind that discipline is training.
Training, yeah.
Right?
That's good.
Love that.
And that's how we drive the foolishness out of the heart of a child, mm-hmm. because we come into this world with foolishness. We don't like again, foolishness is a lack of good sense or judgment, right? And I, that's what I bring into this. I just don't know. I don't know how to do things. Mm-hmm. And I need someone to discipline me, to train me how to do well. And parents, this is your responsibility. You cannot delegate this to anyone else. It is your job to train your children. So we want to give you three characteristics of an effective parent teacher. All right, here they are. I'm going to tell you what they are and we're going to flesh them out. Content, consistency, and character. These are the three.
Did you seriously put three C's there?
Three C's. Yes, 100%.
Paul.
Yes, but it worked. Those are good words.
They are good words, but that's killing me.
All right, we're going to edit that out.
Oh, whatever.
All right, three characteristics of an effective teacher. Content. You're such a dork. Now I'm all nervous about content, consistency, and character. All right, so let's talk about content.
The first C. No.
Content is what you teach your child, right? It's the things that you teach your child. So, for instance, when I'm reading... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so like you... Like when we had this conversation, what do we... I mean, we sat down as parents and we're like, man, we have this big responsibility. Like there's the gamut in what we want to teach our kids, right? And as parents... You get to make and shape that.
Like, oh yeah.
You get to choose what is the content that you want to put into your kids. And so, you know, you and I were like, wow, we now have kids. Like we don't just want them to just grow up and have no training. Right.
Or,
so you sat down and then we worked together through, what we thought would be the best ideas or principles to give our kids.
Yeah. And so we, for instance, like, you know, we would always talk to them about money. So this is what we taught our kids about money. We had a little proverb that we taught them. This is how we handle money. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. And we said that so much to our kids, like, you know, earn it, give it, save it, spend it. Earn it, give it, save it, spend it. That when we'd start to talk about money, our kids would say, I know, earn it, give it, save it, spend it, right? And they would say, so, and then for instance, we would talk, you know, when we would talk to our girls about the boys that we hope that they find and marry, ultimately, we always said, hey, there's three things we hope you look for, right? Someone who is, who acknowledges that acknowledges God, right? Someone who treats you with respect and someone who has a job and can provide for his family, you know, and provide. So, we would say that so many times, the girls would say, like, you always say that, and that's the win.
Yes, that's what we wanted to hear.
As soon as my kids say, you always say that,
yes.
Or if they can finish my sentence, guess what? They're getting the content
yes.
that we want them to get.
Yes.
That's a big, big deal. So here's the thing I would say to you, dad or mom, what will your kids say that you always said?
Yes.
Right?
And that's important.
So,
like, and reflect on that, mom yeah. and dad, you know, because what do they hear you saying? You know, like, I mean, to me, that's a really big eye opener.
Yeah. So we would talk a lot about friends, right?
Yes.
And so we just had these little proverbs, these little quotes, these little sayings that we would say over and over. And I will tell you, it is the content. Now our kids are older. The oldest is 20, the youngest is 12. And they now say, you guys always say that. You always said that. And so if you have younger children, this is a great time for you to start thinking, when my kids are 18, 19, 20, what do I want them to say? Gosh, Dad, you always said that. That's the content. What are you teaching your children?
So I too, like, want to bring out, so when you create that content, there's, I mean, I just have some ideas that I want to throw out to you that we did. Like, we made a one page and made it pretty big. And if your kids are little, you could, you know, maybe put pictures in what you want for the content, but like with the earn it, give it, save it, spend it, our kids were able to read it the point that we had put it up on the fridge.
Yep.
Or on a bulletin board. We've done both. And we just had one big sheet of paper with transparency over, like it was down in...
Laminated.
Yeah. And so we could put it up there and they would see it every time they went to the fridge. And it just became reinforced in their mind. So and like if we talked about it when we had their money that we'd given to them, we would say, okay, what do we do with this? We earn it. You know, so I think just reinforcing through putting it up in your home as well as talking about it is really important so that it's in their face.
Yep. It's the content. It's what you always say.
Right.
All right. So number two, the number two characteristics of an effective parent teacher is da 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 da. Hit us, babe.
Consistency.
All right. So here's the bottom line about this. Like, after about a decade into the parenting process, we realized that in order to be an effective parent, you have to be able to say the same thing over and 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 over again.
Yes.
You have to say the same thing over and over and over and over and over, right? And now, hey, some things you don't have to say more than once. Like, don't touch the hot stove. Well, they'd learn that, right?
Yes.
Don't play with the dog while it's eating. Well, they know that. Like, don't put all of your money in your lunchbox at school. Well, they know that now, right? Because pain has a way of teaching us quickly.
Yes.
Now, this next line is so important. This is really important. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Many important lessons there are a ton of important lessons in life that are not reinforced with immediate pain.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that some of the most important lessons in life are not reinforced with immediate pain. Like, if you spend more than you make, you can do that for a long time. And then one day you're going to end up and you're going to be flat broke and there's no hope of you getting out of that debt hole that you've dug.
Yes.
Right? That is a lesson, an important lesson that's not reinforced with pain. Hey, if you treat your spouse like a jerk, you may get away with it for a while. Right?
Yes.
But one day you're going to wake up alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because relationships, that's an important lesson that's not immediately reinforced with pain. And so... because the most important lessons are not immediately reinforced with pain, our job as parents is to consistently say what we want our kids to know over and over and over. And here's the thing. It's hard to be consistent, isn't it?
Yes, it is hard to be consistent, but I think the way to be consistent is to make catchphrases you can be more consistent when you have these catchphrases, because then you're just able to keep repeating them. So if you don't have a catchphrase, to me, then if you don't have the content, it's hard to be consistent.
Yeah. That, so for me, that was a big deal, because actually writing it down enabled us to be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That was, and listen, this is just easy, but so many people aren't going to do this, but it will change your parenting if you write things down.
Well, I mean, our kids can now, I mean, I've heard some of our older daughter just say, hey, I heard her talk about friends, you know, and she just made the statement that, because we would always say to them that your friends will shape who you become, you know, and just heard that out of her mouth.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mom, I know that the friends I choose, even as an adult, will help shape who I become. And I'm like, yes, they will.
So I want to go back to this whole thing about being consistent or consistency being hard. It's hard because we're tired. And so here's what I found. Sometimes it's just easier. You know, how many times do I tell my kids, put your clothes in the dirty hamper, dirty clothes hamper. And I walk in the room and their dirty clothes are on the floor. You know, or I'll tell them, hey, you know, wash your dish when you're done. And then I walk in and it's like sitting in the sink. Or put your shoes away when you walk in the door. And I walk in, the shoes lay in the middle of the floor. After a while, I'm tired.
You get aggravated.
You get aggravated. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's easier to just do it yourself. That's a big mistake. And here's why. If I do for them what I'm teaching them to do for themselves, I'm teaching them that I will do it for them. If I tell you, you have to put your shoes away when you come in the house, and you don't, and after a while, I go ahead and do it for you, I've just taught you, hey, over time, Dad will clean up your mess.
Yes, definitely.
And Dad, that is absolutely. Why, even when we're tired, we have to maintain consistency, because consistency is what effective teachers do.
Yeah.
Because, again, I just want to say that again, if I do for my kids what I'm teaching them to do for themselves, I'm teaching them that I'll do it for them.
Well, and yeah, that carries into life. As an adult, you're in trouble, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because people are not going to keep doing for you.
So I was reading through Proverbs and, you know, sometimes wondering, like, do other parents have to say the same things over and over and over and over and over and over and over? And it was interesting because when I read through Proverbs, I saw that Solomon, who is arguably the wisest man to ever live, right? He said, listen. He used the word listen at least 14 times in this 31 chapter book.
Yeah.
Listen. Hey, kids, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, son. Daughter, listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying, right? So he was consistently saying the same thing over and over and over and over. It's important.
Yes.
Is it tiring? Yes. Are you discouraged sometimes?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. But be consistent. So here's what we'd say to you. What you say is the content. What you always say is consistency.
Yes.
All right? So let's talk about...
And they're both really important.
Oh, gosh. They're so important, right? So the third characteristic of the effective parenting... or the effective parent-teacher is a big one. If you get this one wrong... It just won't matter what you always said. You'll be ineffective.
Yeah.
Right? This third one is character.
Yeah.
The worst thing I can imagine my adult child saying is, Dad always said, earn it, give it, save it, spend it. But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Dad always said, fear won't keep me here because I have courage. But he never took chances. He never took a risk. Dad always said... you know, treat people with respect, but I saw he didn't treat people with respect. I think that would be the worst thing for me as a dad to hear my children say, my dad always said blank, but he never did it.
Yeah.
And that's character.
Yep, that's heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just bottom line is I don't want there to be a disparity between what I say and what I do, because my kids will see it. And what I do will always be more influential than what I say. Because you know the old axiom, right? Actions speak louder than words.
Right.
And my character will do more to shape my children than my words ever will. A few years ago, I was sitting on the back deck, and I like to get up early in the morning, and I like to read, and then I journal, and then I read my Bible, and I do that every morning. It's life-giving for me. I was on the back deck, and I looked up, and sitting on the other side of the back deck was one of my little girls, and I thought, oh, that's cute. Look at her out there, sitting there in her bedhead and her little nightie, and then I looked again, and I realized that she was holding a book, and she was reading quietly. She wasn't saying anything. I don't even know if she could read at that point, but she was holding a book in her lap and staring at it. And it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I actually stopped. And in that moment, I just prayed, dear God, help me to live a life worth imitating.
Yeah.
Because she's imitating me. And I will tell you, the older my kids get, I see that they have imitated me. And some points of that I'm very pleased with. And other points, dang it.
Oh my gosh.
But your kids will imitate you because you are the teacher.
Yeah. Right? Well, and I'm sure every parent has seen that. You know, your kids will pick up your actions.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like you said, I mean, they will probably pick up your actions quicker than your words.
They will. Which is important that we have ourselves aligned. Content, consistency, and character. Yes. Right? I'm doing what I'm always teaching.
Yes.
It's a big, it's big. Doing what I'm always teaching.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm actually going to write that down right now.
That was good. No, that's, yes, if we can remember, yes, I'm doing what I'm always teaching is.
Yeah, that's the key right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and as we're wrestling with this, dad and mom, I think you have to ask yourself this question. Do I want my child to become an adult like me?
Yeah.
Do I want my kid to handle their money like me? Do I want my kid to have the kind of faith that I have? Do I want my kid to treat their body like I treat mine? Their time?
Yeah.
Do I want my kid to treat their husband or their wife the way I treat mine? Do I want my kids to handle conflict? Do I want my kids to drive? Good Lord, that's a bad one, isn't it? I see some of my kids drive like me, and I'm very sorry, God, and State Department, and babe. And any other drivers on the road, you know? We're learning. We're getting better, wouldn't you say? That was an awkward gap of silence.
No. Character is big. And I think, you know, I mean, we're talking about our kids, but shoot, that's a big challenge to parents.
Yeah.
And it's so critical. Like, I cannot explain how critical it is that your actions are just so important when they're little. And sure, they need to continue to align when you're older. And when they're older, but I just think really displaying how we handle things is really, really important.
Right. And I think it harkens back to baby step number one, which is take care of yourself. Because if you're yes. tired.
Yes.
Listen, we yes. just recently talked to some parents who are like, well, I don't have time to go to the gym. Wrong answer. I mean, maybe you don't have time to go to the gym, but you must take time to care for your body. Because if you don't, you will fall apart and your character will be degraded. It will happen. I'm teaching tomorrow. I'm teaching a room filled with soldiers. We're talking about the 7 habits of highly effective people. And you know what the 7th habit is?
Taking care of you.
It's called sharpen the saw.
Yep.
It's taking care of yourself. Yeah. Listen, moms in particular, right? You've got to take care of yourself. You've got to figure out a way. And you may not have an hour or 2 hours a day, but you have some time. And you've got to figure out, how do I care for myself? Because if I don't, my character is going to be degraded. And if my character is degraded, my yes. kid gets hurt in the future.
That's, yes. Yes, because we're shaping them.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, answer the question, do I want my child to become an adult like me? If you do, hey, great work. Keep it up. Keep getting after it. If you don't, let's make some changes. Right? We yeah. can make some changes.
I think, you know, we all have areas where we're like, man, I just blew that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just talk about that right now. What happens when you mess up? What yeah. happens when you blow it?
Definitely approach the child, right?
Right.
I mean,
and say what?
You've got to go to the child and say, man, I just did not treat you right. I did not do the right thing. I am really sorry. And just, I mean, really, like, I can't explain how important that is, because you're teaching your child, right?
Yeah.
I mean, even in your mess ups, you're teaching your child, because your child is going to mess up. So I feel like even in that teaching, or even in that mess up, it's a great time. Don't ignore that parent. Don't ignore that mom or dad. Literally take advantage of that. I mean, you still teach even when your kids are adults. And there have been times, I mean, just as of recently, you know, I was sitting and reading, and something came across in a book, and I had to go back, you know, and just say, hey, I did that wrong. I'm so sorry. And we both cried together, and, you know, but it's teaching my child how to say I'm sorry and how to approach any of that kind of conflict. So if they're little, if they're, you know, just, it really doesn't matter of the age. Your actions are so important. They speak so loudly.
I would say most mistakes are not a matter of content. They're a matter of character. Most parenting mistakes are not content issues. They're character issues. You're probably teaching a lot of right stuff. You're just not living it. And so I would just throw this out to you. It's a little poem I just wrote. It's a two-line poem. You ready for it? If you blow it, they know it. I need help finishing it.
But the bottom line, if you make
a mistake, your kids know it. They know. The best thing you can do is to go to your child and do, babe, what you just said. Say, baby, listen, I spoke. I was mean to you. I didn't handle that right. I'm very sorry. I would encourage you to be very specific in your apology.
Yes.
And apologize. And now, your kids will forgive you. They actually will forgive you. They're really good at forgiving.
Their hearts are so tender.
Oh, they're beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Apologize.
Yeah.
And then make some corrections, because character at the end of the day, if you have great content and you're consistently delivering it, but you have questionable character, you will raise adults with questionable character.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So don't be too good to ask for forgiveness when you mess up. Yep. It's a really, really big deal. Wow. That was kind of heavy there for a minute, wasn't it?
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
That was emotional.
It's good. It's good. I love you. Thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah. I love you too.
Very cool. Hey, some resources. I know we've gone kind of long on that. I think our first one was like 25 minutes and this one's 40 minutes.
At some
point we're going to need to like put a cap on these bad boys. Hey, a couple things I just want to share with you. You know, if you like the content of today's teaching, all of this is in an ebook. It's called Baby Step Number 3, Be the Teacher. You can get it on our website, firsthalfparenting.com. Go to the resources link and you can download that ebook there for free. We also have a YouTube channel. And right now we have a whopping one video up there.
Oh, goodness.
But the idea is, like, sometimes we're talking about this stuff and Sherry will start saying things. I'm like, that's brilliant. Let me grab my phone, get it on YouTube. And that's the idea. It'll just be, you know, and we might actually start fielding some of your questions and answering them on video, posting on the YouTube channel. But just get on YouTube, look up First Half Parenting. I've mentioned several times our website, firsthalfparenting.com. And you can also find this podcast on Spotify, Podbean, or the Apple Podcast. Hey, want to say thank you for your questions. Those are a big deal. We're going to do our best to answer every one of them. All right, you can always submit them to us on Facebook, Instagram, or you can email us at paul@firsthalfparenting.com. I think that's what we got for today. Babe, you have anything else you want to say?
No. Have a wonderful day and go be that example, right?
Yeah. Remember with the three C's.
Oh my God.
The three C's of effective parent teacher.
What are they, my love?
They are, babe, content, consistency, and character.
Very good.
All right. All right. Y'all have a good day.
See ya.
See ya.
You're listening to the First Half Parenting Podcast, hosted by Paul and Sherry Peterson.